Okay, let's start again. His hour is devoted to the knowledge of the Italian law on building acoustics. So there will be many slides containing Italian text because you need to comply with these rules, these regulations. The law was approved in December 97. It became effective in March 98, but in practice it was not applied for a couple of years because it applied only over buildings which have got their permission of building after March 98. As usually in Italy, it takes 2 years between when you ask the permission and when you really build the house. The first houses built according to this law started to be built around the year 2000 or 2001, more or less. But now it is at least 12 years that all the new house needs to comply with this law. So after a transition period, now almost every building is checked after it is finished for ensuring that the acoustic insulation is good enough, and if it is not good enough, a lot of bad things happen to the building company. The value which has to be checked is a single number called the weighted sound reduction index RW, or RW first, as it is checked inside. How you transfer a spectrum of R values at every frequency in a single number is not an analysis. That must be immediately clarified. The weighted is not really weighted. The legal term is this one, but is not a weighted average. What is done? What is done is shifting down a reference curve, this reference curve, with this strange spectral shape. This is made to follow down, to fall down, to move down in step of 1 decibel each, until the sum of unfavorable deviation becomes smaller than 32 decibels. So we leave the curve falling down until it crosses the measured spectrum. The yellow area are the unfavorable deviation. A deviation is unfavorable when the measured data is below the reference curve. So in this case, all these yellow areas contribute to the summation. The favorable deviation, so when the measured data is above the reference curve, are not considered in the summation. You only sum the unfavorable deviation, the absolute value of unfavorable deviation. And when these sums become smaller than 32 decibels, it means that the reference curve is correctly positioned. If it is more than 32 decibels, the reference curve will be shifted another degree down. And you shift down, shift down, shift down, until this condition is met. At this point, the reference curve is correctly positioned. And now, when it is correctly positioned, you can read the single number sound insulation, weighted sound insulation index, RW, where W stands for weighted, looking at the value at 500 Hz over the reference curve. So, the sound reduction index RW is not the sound insulation at 500 Hz, as most people think erroneously. It's a value which depends on the whole spectrum, between 100 and 3,150 Hz. the whole spectrum contributes to the final value, which is given by that the position of the reference card, and the position is expressed as the value of the reference card at 500. But also this deviation at 125 is causing the final value. In this example here, the resulting value is better than 50 decimals. So this wall was okay, was compliant with the final. Now we will see in more detail what this law requires. We will see that there is not only these acoustical parameters to be checked. This is just one of five. There are five acoustical descriptors which must be verified. And if even one is not verified, the building is not compliant and it requires to be corrected technically, and if this is not possible, it will require to give money compensation to the buyer of the building, because the building is a defective good, and according to the Italian law, who sells a defective good must either replace it, but it is usually not possible, you cannot just bring there another house, or you can repair the fault, and when it is possible, it is definitely the way to go. And when it is not possible to replace the good or to repair it, the only thing you can do is to give some money back to the buyer. And in this case, typically the money back is around 20% of the price of the building, which is a lot. Most building companies here in Italy are working with a margin of less than 10%. So giving back 20% means losing a lot of money. And so the company is broken and failed. Let me go in more detail what is written in the annexes allegato of the DPCM. Stand for Decreto Presidente Consiglio Ministri, is a type of law which is used in Italy, is called a secondary law. The primary law are called law. When something starts with a D, it means a decree, is not really a law, is something issued by the government, not by the parliament, under delegation from the parliament. So it is a secondary law, but still old and still is valid. So this is just a detail. There are two annexes into this decree. Annex one is not very important because it is only contains the definition and the reference to the standard for measuring the quantity to be checked. But as all the quantity to be measured are well known, all the measurement methods are the traditional ones. There is nothing really new in this part of the decree of the law. You just need to know what are the quantities to be measured. And the most relevant ones are R, which is the potere con isolante, you see. This is R. W first. First means measured in the real building, not in the room. And this is between two different apartments. It's not for the internal wall of your own apartment. It's not between your kitchen and your bedroom. It is between your bedroom and the bedroom of your neighbor. So it must be of different property. The partition between two different properties must be checked. Then we have the facade sound insulation. The symbol in this case is this one, B 2 meter NT. We will see how the sound insulation of the facade is measured. Mostly this means the insulation of windows, because the weak part of the facade of a building is the wind. So what is required is to measure how good your windows insulate the external noise from inside your house. Okay. This was the second parameter to be measured. The third parameter is the tapping noise. Tapping in Italian calpestio is the noise caused by steps over the floor above your apartment, which comes through the horizontal partition which separates each apartment from the one above it. So it is a structural propagation measurement. It's not an acoustical propagation. And the measurement is done with the tapping machine. We will see a photo of the tapping machine. It's a box containing hammers which hammer over the floor. And then you hear under the floor below that, you go one floor below with the sound level meter and you measure the level of this tapping machine. And again, this is the third quantity to be measured. And the quantity is called Lm first. First again means measured not in the lab but in the real building. And then we have some parameters related to the equipment, which can be heating equipment, ventilation equipment, hydraulic equipment, and so on. Every type of apparatus which can be inserted in a building must comply to certain limits. Then we have two tables. The first table defines the type of building. Type A are normal houses, residential buildings. Type B are offices. Type C are hotels and pensions. Type D are hospitals. Type E, schools or universities. Type F, recreative destination or churches or cinemas or similar things. And type G is shops, where you sell something, commercial activity. For every type of building, there are different things. These are the five acoustical parameters we have to check. RW first is the sound insulation of vertical walls. D to meter and TW is the facade insulation, windows. Third one, LMW, is the tapping noise, the calpestio, tapping machine. The other two, LAS max and LAEQ, are the noise of equipment. This is the maximum noise for intermittent equipment, like the WC, when you pull the water in the WC, this is intermittent noise, so you measure the maximum slope await value, not in the same room where you are, not in your bathroom, in your neighbor's bathroom. So it's always from one property to another property. So the noise of the equipment is not the noise which the equipment makes in the same room where the equipment is installed. It's the noise which your equipment causes to your neighbor, your conditioning machine, for example, air conditioning of your home, can cause disturbance to your neighborhood, and that is what the law regulates. So these values here instead are the maximum noise of the continuous equipment, like this ventilation system which is running in this room. And generally speaking, this can be smaller, 25 decibels instead of 35. So this is the table. Now we'll focus mostly on the building, which is the second line of the table, or residential houses, homes, where people live, or hotels, which is the same room. You see the vertical partition limit is 50 decibels, the facade, the window, is 40, those are minimum values. So your value must be larger or equal of these two values. Instead, the other three numbers are levels. These are numbers which you must stay below. Those are maximum values. The first two are minimum values, the other are maximum values. So the tapping noise machine, for example, must be smaller than 63 decibels, and so on. Okay. For schools or university, there is another limit regarding reverberation time, but we probably did already discuss this regarding the classroom acoustics, the room acoustics limit. So you know that for classroom there is optimal reverberation time defined by this regulation of 1967. So now we show you quickly the five values to be checked. Okay? These are the five values, not in order actually, because the first two are swapped. I don't know why. The correct order is not this one. The correct order is this one. Okay. Following the table seen in the book. Okay, so we now see how every one of these are measured and what happens in practice. Well, again, the order is wrong, but okay. This is the facade sound insulation. We are out a building. Here you see a microphone. I don't know if it managed to see that. And here somewhere there is a loudspeaker, probably here. This round thing here is a dodecahedron loudspeaker. And the sound propagates from the loudspeaker to the external microphone, which is 2 meters outside the window you are checking. And there is an inclined incidence of the sound, so the sound should not come straight against the window, but with this oblique incident. You see, this picture is taken by the ISO standard and show you a 45 degree angle between the line connecting the loudspeaker and the microphone with the normal to the surface of your window. So this is how the measurement is done. You play the loudspeaker here, you play the microphone here, you play pink or white noise, usually white noise, through the loudspeaker, measure the sound pressure level outside with this external microphone, and simultaneously, with a second microphone, measure the sound pressure level inside the room. You make the difference between the two levels. It is called D2 meters, 2 meters because the external microphone is 2 meters from the window, and you correct this value with this ratio between the measured reverberation time inside your room and the reference reverberation time, which is 0.5 seconds, zero reference reverberation time. This factor corrects for how much there is furniture inside the room. If there are a lot of carpets, of curtains, of decoration over the walls, or of furniture like upholstered chairs and similar things, there will be a lot of absorption. So the sound level will go down inside the room. If instead you make the measurement before the people start living in the room, when the building is just finished and the room is completely empty, there is a lot of reverb in that room. So you will measure 2 different quantities in the 2 cases. But making this correction, depending on the reverberation time which you measure in your room, you correct for the different degree of material contained in the room, the different absorption degree. Introducing more absorption is not giving you any advantage. because B2M will increase, but this factor will decrease because the reverberation time will be smaller. So in the end, it is ensured that the result of the measurement depends only on the quality of the building and not of what people decide to place inside their room. If they keep it empty or fill it with a lot of material or solid material, in the end the measured quantity doesn't change. So you check this value, and if this value is better than 40 decibels, you are good. If it is less than 40 decibels, your windows are too bad and they must be replaced. Replacing the windows is something which can still be done quite easily. So whenever for saving some money, the building company installs bad windows, you make a measurement, check the result of bad, and say, okay, those windows are not compliant with the law, please remove all of them and throw them away, and buy a new set of windows and mount them. It is costly, but not 20% of the cost of the building. So the building company is forced to do that. And this happens easily. I still do not understand why the people selling windows continue selling windows which they know are not compliant, because they have to be destroyed in a few weeks. Why they don't tell to the building company, please buy a better window because this one is not compliant? And instead, they continue selling those bad windows with thin glass and thin metal frame and bad rubber seals and so on. And in the end, you measure them and they don't work, and you have to destroy them and mount a new set of windows. Very expensive and so stupid, because window makers know very well what are in their catalog those which are compliant with the law and those which are not. And if we go back to the table, you see that 40 decibels required for residential windows is not really the largest value. If your B hospital, 45, in an hospital you require much better windows than in residential windows. And, for example, school E, 48, this is terrible. Adding windows, which give you 48 decibels of package insulation, is terribly expensive. In Parma, there is only one school which has windows complying with this regulation. All the other schools, including these buildings in which we are now at the university, are all not compliant. This is really very difficult. Okay? The only school which is with this value true is La Salle, which is the new school, which is here close to the campus, just crossed the tangential highway. That is the only one, because it was built 3 years ago. All the old school in Italy, I would say, are not compliant with this package regulation. So it can be very expensive to have buildings. This measurement is made in Genoa, in these large towers, and here the result was compliant with the residential building regulation, but still these are very expensive glazed windows, very expensive. So, let me go on. There are some problems with the law, some notes which is not so important, you can read them from the slide, but what is really important here for the package insulation is that it's very difficult to get good result, particularly for windows which can be tested. So often the problem is not the glass, but is the ceiling, because when a window is openable, having the ceiling which reach the value is difficult, and we will see an example of this. In this case, these are the result of the measurement in that tower in Genoa. And as you see, the result was barely reached. is exactly the mean. So there is not even 1 decibel of subtlety. It is like here, it's terrible. But it was okay, the limit is very tight, so no problem if it's really very close to the limit, actually exactly to the limit, but it is still okay. Second parameter is the insulation of walls separating two different properties. In one apartment you place the loudspeaker and the sound level meter. In the other apartment you place only the sound level meter. Again, there is some error in the law, but this is normal in Italy. In Italy, we have a lot of laws, really too many, and most of them are wrong. They contain wrong facts. In this case, for example, they cite the wrong ISO standard. Okay, that's quite normal. If this was the only problem, there are even worse problems. In any case, you measure the two sound level with the two sound level meters, you make the difference, this is the sound insulation D, and then you apply the correction factor, as explained in previous hour, for getting the apparent sound reduction index R1, and again, this factor, containing the absorption of the receiving room, automatically compensates for the fact that the room contains a lot of furniture or not. So again, having furniture in the building does not change the value. Often the building company tells you, the measurement is bad, but it is because the building is not yet containing furniture. As people will come in and bring their furniture inside, the reverberation time will lower and the sound insulation will be better. That's completely wrong, of course, because the value which has to be measured, R1, does not change adding absorption to the receiving room or to the transmitting room. It does not depend at all on the degree of furniture. So, in the end, if you check the building when the apartments are still empty and the value is not reached, it continues to not be reached even when people will move in. So better to make some action now before people enter the building, for example adding an additional layer against the wall, a gypsum layer for example. This is very effective. You measure that instead of 50 decibels, you measure 45, for getting 5 decibels more, you add a gypsum layer against the wall on the two sides, and it gives you probably 10 decibels more. So this can be very effective. Doing this before selling the apartment is absolutely not a problem. Doing this after the people enter the building and start complying is not so easy. This is the example of a measurement, again, done in Genoa and Tet Tower. Now the value is quite good, it's 53 decibels, the weight value on the reference curve. 53 is quite good because the limit is 50, so here in this case we have 3 decibel margin, which is quite good. It ensures that even something goes wrong, if you drill some hole into the wall for appending furniture, still there is some margin, some safety margin, ensuring that the limit is satisfied. Then we have the tapping noise. They are out of order. This has to be different. The tapping noise is the noise produced at the lower floor when at the upper floor someone is walking over the floor. This is measured with this button box here. This is the tapping machine. This is standardized, very expensive. A tapping machine can cost 5,000 euros. And it is normalized. It contains 5 calibrated steel hammers which fall from a very well-controlled height with a very well-controlled rate of pitching, And those tapping noise propagates through the structure. There is also some lateral propagation, some called planking transmission through the vertical wall and even through the floor here. So this vibration propagates in the structure and becomes noise in the receiving room. In the receiving room you place a sound level meter and you measure the tapping noise here. Then you have to apply a correction given to by the absorption area in the receiving room. So again, applying this kind of correction, you see, this is the measured value. But you apply this correction due to the absorption of the receiving room. So again, the value being measured does not depend on how much furniture is in the room. Adding furniture does not change the tapping noise level. So the point is always the same. All these three kinds of measurements are done the same way. You measure the source, you measure the receiver, and you correct for the absorption of the receiver. And these make the measurement independent of the degree of furniture in the room. Is the same. So the absorption of the receiving room is obtained actually by a measurement of the reverberation time of the receiving room. So you not only need to use a normal sound level meter for measuring levels, you also need to have a system capable of measuring the reverberation time, because only this way you can make the correction and complete the absorption of the receiving room. In the case of the tapping noise, the reference curve is different. The reference curve, you see here in red, is sloping down with frequency. Instead, the reference curve for the normal sound insulation is sloping up with frequency. Furthermore, there is another difference. Negative difference in the case of sound insulation are where the measured curve is below the reference curve, because here we are dealing with a limit which is a minimum value, and we must stay above the minimum value. Instead, in case of the tapping noise, the limit is a maximum value. So we consider negative only those frequencies here where those are the negative difference in this case. The negative deviation in this case are only these three frequencies. Here, you don't have an unfavorable deviation, because the measured value in this case is below the reference curve, and here we must stay under the limit, not above. In this example here, the value of the reference curve at 500 Hz is 60 decibels, which is good if this was a residential building, where the limit is 63. But it is not good, for example, if it is an office, because for an office, the limit of tapping is 55, much smaller. It's not very well clear why our parliament approved a law, or our ministry approved a law, which requires better insulation for office than for residential buildings. My understanding is that those stupid guys in Rome did not understand that this was a maximum value, while the other two parameters before were minimum value. So they did things that specified 63 for buildings was means specifying better value, and specifying 55 for office was allowing more tapping noise for office. Of course, it is the opposite, but now the law is written this way, and so we must comply with the law, and so we need to employ incredible thick horizontal divisory for offices, while for normal house, for getting this value to be satisfied, usually it's not required to employ very tricky solutions. Now we will see the technical solution for having this value to be respected. What is important is to understand that something is changing now. This value is a maximum value, you must say, below the limit. For the other two parameters, the value specified by the law was a minimum level, and you must stay above. That's the most relevant difference. And this curve is not moving from up down, as we have seen at the beginning. At the beginning, we have seen that for that the weighted sum reduction index, you start with your curve at the top and make it go down slowly. In this case, it's the opposite. You start with this curve like here and push it up until the sum of unfavorable deviation becomes smaller than 32. At this point, you see the value here, and in this case, you see it. Okay. Now, there is another fact related to the noise of heating, ventilation, air conditioning, and plumbing. We have seen that the table distinguishes between continuous and intermittent sources. For continuous sources, there are generally lower limits than for intermittent sources. But for continuous sources, you have the time average equivalent level to be measured for a long measurement time. Instead, for intermittent sources, you only measure the maximum fast, the maximum slow sum pressure level. And this makes the things different. For example, for the discharge of the VC, usually it's very difficult to comply to the 35 maximum sum pressure level limit in the floor below the one where there is a battery. If you go in the battery below the one where you are making the measurement, it's very difficult to comply with this. You need plumbing, which is very soundproof, which is expensive, and without any mechanical contact with the structure of the building. You must have your pipes running inside a column with elastic suspension. You must never fix them rigidly against the structure. Okay, let me see some tricks which provide the way for reaching the result. Still regards the windows. Often you buy very expensive windows with very thick glass, and you say, okay, they are perfect. They should give me the required value. But you mount them, you measure, and the value is not the expected one. In this case, very expensive windows were mounted, and the measured value were 37 and 36. And the limit is 40. So we are 3 or 4 decibels below the limit. After close inspection to the problem, we did discover that they did cut the gasket, the rubber seal, corresponding to the support structure for the window. So here there is an interruption of the gasket, and the sound passes here through the support, because here there is no seal. This is because these kind of windows were mounted with internal hidden support. This kind of support is hidden by the window itself. When the window is closed, you don't see the support. It was replaced with external support windows, and exactly with the same windows, the windows were not changed. They did change only the support, and of course they replaced the gasket with a new rubber seal, continuous, also where there is the support, and the same windows remounted with the proper support is now 42 decibels. 5 decibels more. So, this particular here explain you what happens in practice. A very small detail can disrupt completely your acoustical design. Even if the designer was careful enough to specify good material and good technical solution, often the work for making it quicker make wrong choice, like in this guy cutting the seal, and for this very stupid thing, you lose 5 decibels, and you're out of the loop. Of course, in this case, there was no need to change the window. They did only change the software. And this was enough for recovering from the problem. You see, before with the interrupted seals, and after with the good sealing around the frame. Then there is a final part, which is not technical, but it is psychoacoustical. In this case, the house was sold. This is here in Parma, this house. Is in Via Traverso. And they did build the new nice building, they did sell the building. The people started living there and they started complaining. Because there was bad insulation, they could hear each other, particularly from bedroom and soggiorno. Okay, in any case, there were problems. After the problems were discovered, we made the measurement and we have checked that the sound insulation index was only 45, which is 5 decibels less than 20. So, we asked to add this kind of double gypsum layer on both sides of the wall, reinforcing the wall and improving the sound insulation. We went back and now the sound insulation is good, 53, 3 decibels better than the wind. But nevertheless, people living in these houses did continue to complain as before. Once the problem is triggered and the people start complaining, it's very difficult to stop them from complaining, even taking the technical action for solving the problem. Technically, the problem was solved. Psychoacoustically, it was not solved. Once the people are unhappy, they stay unhappy even if you fix the problem. If instead you did make this action before selling the house, and they did start living there with them, no one complained. Okay? This is psychoacoustics, but it's true. It happens, and this does not impede to people who did buy the house to take legal action against the maker of the house and against the building company. In this case, luckily enough, there was legal action because people were not happy, so they went to the court and asked for compensation. But after the measurements were done, it was proven that the technical action was successful, that the law limit was respected, and so there was no compensation for the people making the action. But it is an exception to this case. In most cases, there is money compensation. Okay. And we stop here again, just for 10 minutes now.